all through the Bible, God is waiting for his people to move before he moves.
Dr. Tony Evans says if you want to get somewhere in your career, you have to be in motion.
Don't you stay where you are. God wants to turn that thing around.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. If you feel like you're stuck in a dead-end job, Dr. Evans wants you to know it may not be as dead as you think. Today, he'll talk about the curses that sometimes stand in the way of our careers and how to reverse them. Let's turn to the book of 2 Kings chapter 7 as he begins.
Have you ever made a mistake that you feel has put your life under a curse? And you know you feel that way because every day you are reminded about it. Our series is called The Comeback, Reversing the Curses in Your Life. Many people today are actually under a curse, or if not actually under one, at least feel like they're under one because they feel trapped in a negative situation that they are totally unable to get themselves out of. There is a famine in Samaria. We don't have time to go through all the details. You can read it in chapter 6. But there is a famine in Samaria. And this famine in Samaria is due to the people's rebellion against God. So God allows an army to come, shut off any import or export of food so that the people who are in Samaria are now starving. In the middle of this story of the famine, with four lepers at the gate, verse 3 of chapter 7. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why do we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine in the city, and we will die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us go over to the camp of the Arameans. If they spare us, we will live, and if they kill us, we will die." These four lepers come to an interesting conclusion. And I'm talking to folk now who feel like you got leprosy. That is, feel like you got a curse on you that won't go away. They said, if we stay here, we're going to die. If we go inside of Samaria to the Arameans' camp, that's the enemy's camp who was causing the famine, we gonna die. Because they might kill us. Because we're part of Samaria. So they come to the conclusion, since we gonna die anyway, see, we're gonna die if we stay. We could die if we go. Since our situation, watch this now, is this desperate, we might as well get up and do something. Yes. Yes. Our situation is desperate. So watch this now. So we have nothing to lose. Yes. You can become so paralyzed, yes, in your situation, yes, that you sit around all day feeling sorry for yourself because you're going to die anyway. Yes. In other words, it's never going to get better. My mama was messed up like this. My daddy was messed up like this. I'm messed up like this. My kids are messed up like this. So why don't I just settle into that's the way it's always been. That's the way it's going to be. That's the way it is. Well, if you that messed up, you have nothing to lose. If stuff is that bad, then it may be in your best interest to get up and do something. Something interesting takes place. In chapter 7, it says, they arose, verse 5, at twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans. And when they came to the outskirts of the camp of the Arameans, behold, there was no one there. Wait a minute. They went to the camp of the enemy to try to see if they could get a little bite to eat. For the Lord had caused the army of the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and a sound of horses, even the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel has hired some other kings to come up against us. They get up. But after they get up, the Bible says the Lord amplified their movement.
Yes.
God does not move until they move.
Yes.
You'll see this all through the Bible. All through the Bible, God is waiting for his people to move before he moves. God, why don't you move first? Because if I move first, you don't need faith. Faith is you moving and trusting me to amplify your activity. They got to the Jordan River. Israel, they come to the Jordan River. When they come to the Jordan River, they got a problem. They got a no pass. We can't get across the Jordan River. This is an impossible task. How are we going to get 2 million people across the Jordan River? God says, well, here's what I want you to do. Tell your priests to put their foot in the water. Tell them, and then I'll take it from there. It says when the priest put their foot in the water, God dammed up the water so the water stopped flowing downstream, creating a path for 2 million people across. Now, they could have been meeting all day long and still been stuck on the wrong side of the promised land. A lot of us are stuck on the wrong side of the promised land because God can't get us to put our feet in the water. We just want to come to church to hear somebody talk about putting feet in the water. They ain't willing to step nowhere. So they don't get any divine amplification. So God amplifies the situation. They responded to the inner prompting within. We would call it in the New Testament being led by the Holy Spirit. They then said to one another, watch this now. We are not doing right. This is a day of good news and we are keeping silent. If we wait until morning, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, let us come and tell the king's household. Okay, we're trying to make a link here. Watch this, because this is all about how did Gehazi get back to the king? They come and find all this gold, silver, and clothes because the enemy has left. And they say, we didn't hit the lotto. Come on, guys, let's get this stuff. They begin to gather the stuff. And then one of them says, this ain't right. This is good news, and we are hoarding it for ourselves.
Yes.
This ain't right. In fact, not only is it not right, they said, we're going to get caught. Okay? Rewind. Gehazi went after Naaman. And he said, Naaman, give me some silver and clothes. He brings them, and the Bible says, and he hid them. Elijah caught them and said, because you've done this thing, you shall become a leper. The four lepers, fast forward, are getting some silver and clothes. They are hiding them. But it dawns on one of them, we better rethink this. Because I can sure enough promise you, we going to get caught. He said, we going to get caught. We going to get caught. How you know you going to get caught? Been there, done that. We going to get caught. I can guarantee you, we going to get caught if we do this thing. Here's the principle. The famine lasts how long? 7 years is seven is the number of, okay. Guess what we have here? We have a retest.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
God is, because it's the same place, Samaria, the same situation, yes. Stealing clothes and silver, the same strategy, hiding them, and the same concern, getting caught by a leper.
Yes.
Plus three other people, which I believe is Gehazi and his three sons.
Yes.
But that's not even the point. The point is, when God says you are cursed, and he says you are cursed forever, the word forever is relative to your obedience or disobedience. In other words, it looks like forever, and in fact will be forever, unless you give God a reason to not make it last forever. See, that's the problem with many of us who are undergoing generational curses that have been in our generation for years. It's going to be there for the next 100 years too, unless somebody breaks that cycle through obedience. How do you know when God has given you the opportunity to break the cycle? Number seven. How do you know when you've hit number seven? Because he retests you on the area where you failed before. And when he gives you the retest, it's now up to you whether you're going to pass it or not. If you don't pass it, you're not at seven. You're not at the time of completion. Your problem won't end till you pass your test. And you'll know it's your test because it'll be in the same area of your curse. It will be your test. It's the same area of your curse. And let me explain something about God. God does not care how long it takes. You can do it quick like Naaman, go in seven times and get it over with. Or you can take 7 years like Gehazi and get it over with. Or you can go seven times seven, 49 years from now. You're going to be struggling with it and it still won't go anywhere. God does not care how much time it takes. He cares how much character is changed. He wants to know, are you a different man than you were 7 years ago when you messed up and went out and stole? It took 7 years for his character to be redeveloped. So when he faced the same test, he rethought this thing and said, nah, been there, done that. No. That's risky stuff. You going back to Samaria, the people who rejected you, turned you down, said you're not good enough to live with us anymore. You are contaminated, you are cursed, you are rejected and put out. That's where you're going? Yeah, because this is good news. And we can't keep it to ourselves. Let me explain something now. When you pass your test and God gives you your breakthrough, it ain't just for you. See, you have to understand, it is not just for you. Now, it is for you, but it's not only for you. And as long as, whenever Israel hoarded something, the Bible says God sent them manna and they hoarded the manna. And because they hoarded the manna, God allowed maggots to enter them. Because that's not what it was for. It wasn't just for you. It was for others to benefit as well as you. And that's how you know you really are seeing God, because God does not just want you to be blessed, he wants you to be a blessing.
Dr. Evans will come back in just a moment to continue our message, and he'll tell us about some interesting ways God has to create a job opening. First, though, if you want to get your family more connected to Christ, we have a great resource that can help. It's called the Kingdom Family Devotional. A 52-week journey through the most important concepts of the Christian faith. Each week covers a different topic like salvation, spiritual warfare, prayer, forgiveness, discipleship, and so on. Then there's specific inspiration and instruction for each weekday, simple enough to keep the kids engaged, but meaty enough to challenge mom and dad, too. We'd like to send you a copy of the Kingdom Family Devotional as our way of investing in your family. All we ask in return is that you make an investment of any amount, large or small, to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. In fact, he's here now with a word about why your contributions are so important.
The ministry of the alternative is dependent upon our friends in order to continue doing what we do. If God is using this ministry in your life, your family, in your church, and in the lives of your loved ones, then would you help it to continue? We can only go as far as God supplies the need, and he supplies the need through those whom he blesses. If he's blessed you through this ministry, then meet the need so that the blessing won't have to stop. We want to keep coming your way and to the lives of others as well. So we appeal to your kindness, your love for God, and your appreciation of this ministry. Thank you for supporting us. We can't do what we do without you.
And if we hear from you right away, we'll send you a copy of the Kingdom Family Devotional as our thank you gift, along with a special bonus, all 10 full-length CDs in Tony's current teaching series, The Comeback. But don't wait. This offer is only available for a limited time. Get the details and make your contribution online at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. Staff members are standing by to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Now, back to our message. Here's Dr. Evans.
Now, there's an interesting little closing scenario here. Watch us now. Look at the first two verses of chapter 7. Then Elijah listened to the word of the Lord. Tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. In other words, there's going to be a lot of food and price is going to be low. The royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning. Okay, this is the armor bearer. This is the guy who's the chief assistant to the king. Said to Elijah, behold, if the Lord should make heaven open, could this thing be? In other words, even God can't fix this problem. Okay, watch this now. The man is basically saying, this thing is so messed up, even God can't fix it.
Yes.
And I bet you there's somebody here who feels like this thing is so messed up. Even God can't fix this. Even God, if he would have opened a window to heaven, couldn't change this mess. We've been in a mess for a long time. We've been living a mess and working a mess, and my future's a mess, and my money's a mess, and my career is a mess, and everything is a mess, and it's just a mess. God can't help me. And Elijah said to the man, behold, you will see it with your eyes, but you won't eat of it. Translation, since God can't fix it, he won't fix it for you. He can't fix it, right? Yeah, because this is so bad. I am so messed up. God can't fix it. Well, good. Since that's what you believe, your prayer is answered. He won't. But you're going to see he can fix it for others while he's not fixing it for you. I don't know what's messed up in your life, but don't you tell God he can't fix it, because he'll answer your prayer and he won't fix it for you, but he'll be fixing it for some other folk who don't think like you think. He'll be helping other folk who can't seem to get a job to get one. He'll be helping other folk who think they can't get out of debt to get out of debt. He'll be helping other folk who think they cursed with singlehood to find a mate. He'll be helping other folk who think they're doomed to a divorce to stay together. He'll be helping other folk who think there's no help, but he will answer your prayer and not help you. He said, you're going to see it, but you ain't going to participate in it. Verse 16. So the people went out when the word got out that there was all this food, with a measure of flour and sold for a shekel and two measures of barley. In other words, the prices were low. Now the king appointed the royal officer on whose hand he leaned to have a charge of the gate. But the people trampled on him at the gate. And he died just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down. It happened just as the man of God said, who spoke to the king saying, two measures of barley. Verse 19. Then the royal officer answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make the windows in heaven open, could such a thing be? Behold, you will see it and with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. So it happened, for the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died. Okay, watch this now. Watch it. I mean, if it wasn't so tragic, it's funny. You got the man at the gate, who represents the king, who's saying, look, God can't fix this. Elijah said, okay, and God won't fix it for you, but you're going to see him fix it for others, and you will not be allowed to participate. Everybody else heard good news. There's food available. The folk who believed the good news started herding toward the good news. The folk who believed the good news started running for the good news. But the foolish assistant to the king got in the way. He's standing in the way of people responding to good news. The folk who responded to good news run over the guy who wouldn't believe the good news, and he winds up dying. In other words, because he didn't believe what the word of God through the man of God said, he heard about it, saw it, but he couldn't participate in it, because all the folk who heard about it and believed it ran so fast to get it that he got in the way. Listen to me. Don't let other folk who don't believe get in your way of getting to where God wants you to go. Don't let them stop you. You run over them, run around them, climb by them. Don't let your neighbor stop you. Don't let your girlfriend stop you. Don't let your male friend stop you. Don't let your race stop you. Don't let your situation stop you. You run over it to get to where God said you should be. That's what God is calling you to. And so, everything got turned around, not only for the four lepers, but for all of Samaria, because of a leper. Wait a minute, you mean a nobody? A person who was rejected? A person who's diseased saved the whole city? You tell me God can use me like that? God can turn my situation around like that? God can reverse my curse like that? Not only so that I'm cleansed and I'm healed, but I can save a whole group of people. I can save my whole family. I can save all my kinfolk. I can do all of that. Yeah, if I can ever get you to leave where you are. I confess, I pulled up to McDonald's the other day. And I came up to the window. They're not prepared if you order something different. If you order something that ain't normal, they ain't ready for you. See, because they got mass production in there. So you're supposed to order number three and say nothing. So I had a special order. I wanted a little configuration into my dining. And they said, well, would you pull up and pull over? In other words, you got to wait a minute because you want something special. You don't want the normal. You want something special, and we're not ready for that. So we need a little bit more time if we're going to give you something special. So I pulled up and pulled over to the side, and I had to wait a few minutes, but the wait was worth it because now the fries were hot and not cold. Now they had reconfigured it because they were waiting for something special. See, if you want run-of-the-mill living, then just keep on like you're going, drive through, and get what everybody else gets. But if you want something special, designed just for you, with your name written on it, hot and special, you got to pull over to the side and let God work that thing up, turn that thing around, because he wants to give you something with your name on it. He got something for you, but you got to step. You can't stay where you are. The man who the king laid his hand on got run over by good news. He got run over by good news. That means there's a job opening. There's an opening in the king's court. You come to chapter 8. And Gehazi is talking to the king. The king is asking him questions. I believe the job got filled right there by a man who once was a leper who's now been promoted into the king's court. There's a job opening. God knows how to create a job opening. He knows how to turn things around. He knows how to flip things over. Don't you stay where you are. Don't you stay how you are. God wants to turn that thing around.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about how God wants to reverse the career curses in our lives. There's more to this lesson than we had time to bring you today, but full-length copies are available as a part of Tony's current teaching series, The Comeback. Remember, all 10 CDs in this collection are yours as our gift when you help support Tony's ministry by making a contribution of any amount, large or small. Along with it, you'll get the 52-week Kingdom Family Devotional, written by Tony and his son Jonathan. Get in touch with us today to make your contribution and your request before this special double offer runs out. You can get information and make your request online at tonyevans.org or let one of our staff members help you by calling us day or night at 1-800-800-3222. We all face times in life when we take stock of the challenges facing us, look at our resources, throw up our hands and say, I got nothing. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain why nothing is exactly what you need. Find out more when you join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.